go through those little steps of just asking yourself why you want to meditate, why you're here. To kind of engage meaning in what you're doing, kind of engage your heart, your caring for doing it by reminding yourself of its meaning for you. And then, and take as long as you like, in any of these stages in your own practice time, to also engage your heart in caring for yourself. This is why you're practicing, after all, because you care for yourself, your life, how it goes for you, how you do it, how you meet and hold your experiences. And when that's troubled, when you reflect like that and there's trouble or distress in you, in your life, then take more time to hold yourself carefully, to wish yourself well, to count some blessings or send some loving kindness or whatever for you. Soothes that trouble that's always required. Because to stabilize present awareness, it's not going to want to when it's troubled, because the trouble is what's uppermost in your awareness. So address any upset or pain or trouble or distress by kindness, by acknowledgement, by respect, by encouragement in whatever way you've learned. And then, and always that's early, you know, in sitting, the beginning, tuned to that. And then whenever that feels somewhat addressed or you feel somewhat steadier, orient yourself in the present. Scan around with your awareness, with your eyes closed, and receive those subtle sensations and sounds and smells and shadows and light that orient you in here, right here in this space. Feeling each other. Feeling the Sunday morningness of Bellingham around us. And then when you feel sort of gathered here in the space, and that the space is now in your consciousness, further in orienting to your body, how it's feeling, its physical body, its bulk, its posture, its position, its aches and tensions and areas of comfort, warmth. And then adjust or address if you encounter places where you're unnecessarily tight. Relax the face, the eyes, the shoulders, and so on. So you're now present and aware of being here. And then lightly include in your awareness whatever anchors you to help that being aware and present continue. The fact that your body is continually breathing, or the fact that you can feel these ongoing tinglings in your hands. Or another anchor that some people use is quietly back and receiving all the different sounds as they come and go. These are the three most popular areas that people use to anchor attention into this present moment awareness. So include for yourself whichever ones work for you, one or ones. And all of these are stepping stones to present awareness, which is what we're really growing, using these tools. Mindfulness, sati, the shy, in the back of the brain, if you like. Capacity to know what's happening as it's happening. Our truer nature, our consciousness, our clear awareness. Only available when we're present, when we're relatively stable, when the chattering and whining is not quite so loud. Awareness, quietly sitting back, knowing that you're present in this body, breathing, watching the mechanics of this being a human being. Thoughts coming and going, feelings coming and going, a strong feeling producing a lot of thinking, and then subsiding and going. Physical sensations coming and going, various sounds from inside and outside flowing through. Keeping some sense of being embodied, some sense of anchoring with some of your physical experience. Tuning yourself again and again to this quiet, spacious awareness that's always there. And then these visiting forces, the Buddha called them, this wanting, liking, commenting, being engaged with some idea or something, allowing that to be there and move through, trying to stay in the audience, trying to stay in that place of awareness of these activities going on inside you. And depending on your level of experience and the stability of your awareness and the clarity with which you're seeing, you can see these activities of mind, the judgments or the concerns or the whatever they are. You can also experience the effect of those being seen, when we can recognize that we're complaining or we're comparing or we're yearning for something. We can feel what it's like to want something, or to need something, or to complain. Complaining being known, what's that feel like? So we can be in the experience of either the grip of the ego, or freedom from that prison. What's that experience? Can we make conscious that sense of relief, and quietness, and nothing much going on? That ordinary peace. And then the next time we're caught in some tangle, we can experience what it's like being entangled. It's tense making, it's oppressive, it's struggly, it's churny, it's pushy, punchy, whoever it is, shrinky, whatever it is for you, heavy. Experiencing what actually that feels like to be this way. And if we can stay present, we can watch that whole experience and the energetic grip of it subsiding. And have times when there isn't any churning, punchy tension in the body. It's just quietly relief, normal moment. Sitting, breathing, hands tingling. And then the selfing gets going again, and has a characteristic. And so we're trying to stay in the present moment, experiencing this activity of our mind. It's not personal. You don't have to get involved with the details, the players, what happened. What's it feel like in that being part of that tangle? So we're observers of our inner mechanism. Quietly observing, no need to comment, no need to fix it, no need to have it be any different than it is. We're just learning how it is to be a human being, and how we struggle and then we unstruggle, and then we struggle and then we unstruggle. Just watching that whole show going on inside. Gently, patiently, in a friendly way, we're just being friendly about getting to know ourselves, getting to understand. And if all that seems complicated, you're a new meditator, just orient yourself into the present. Familiar with your posture, choose some simple aspect that you're actually experiencing, the tingling of the hands, or the moving of the rib cage, or the belly rising, falling, and just training your mind to calm down and stay present. And then begin to recognize that present awareness when you're present that comes and goes when your attention goes into the tangle of thinking. And when you're back present again, you'll realize, oh, and I know I'm present now. Knowing is now here, awareness is here again, mindfulness. And then sit quietly with your attention in your anchor. That is good training. years of practice have access to a reasonably stable present awareness, and are able to observe the shenanigans going on inside yourself, the easiest way to recognize me, selfing, I-ing, doing, all that kind of activity, easiest way to recognize it, that's the easiest, but an easy, very easy way, is that it shows up most overtly when you want something or you are resistant to something. Greed, hatred. So the way the Buddha taught this, to be aware of this, was to notice when things are really nice, and then there's the self that goes, oh, I really like this, and starts to then me behavior around the pleasant, and opposite that, when things are really irritating or difficult or yuck, ugh, and then the me gets busy trying to get rid of that. Those are the most extreme, and therefore the most obvious, strong, recognize that selfing, getting in the way of quiet awareness. Just reminding you, you know, there's many other ways you can see it. For me, one of the ways I am conscious of the little me showing up is in here. It's a feeling of like, urgh. It's like, oh, something's got to happen now. And it's sort of, I also go up on my toes because I have to do something. And I tend, and this is my own experience, I tend to lean into things. It's like, I want to do something about this. I can feel my energy starting to fiddle with things. And when there's none of that going on, it's a very, I'm definitely back in the audience feeling. I can feel it energetically. That's when I can really recognize the sense of me showing up. I start getting busy. And for me, it's forward. Those are just some tips. Please.
I have a question. You know, sometimes wanting and then the desire and aversion, it's very hard to separate them. Some things like it's all together.
Yes.
For example, you know, I want, here's a desire, I want to try this. You know, I fantasize that would be great. So that is a desire. At the same time, you know, there's a fear that, oh, what can happen, you know, if we fail, if we turn out, wouldn't turn out to be what I hope to.
Yes.
So there is a desire and then aversion at the same time.
Correct.
But is it useful as an observer to label, oh, here's a desire, here's a fear, and is it useful the effort for an observer to separate them and then, you know, just what am I supposed to do as an observer?
Too much. Too busy.
Right?
Don't need to think, don't need to say, don't need to label, don't need to separate, but you just need to notice that that's what's true.
But I
don't
have
to. Very often, that's all, you don't have to do anything about it, just see it. You don't have to fix it, you don't have to do anything. You are seeing it, very good. And very often, they're both together. I want this because I don't want this. They're often right at the same time. The reason we want something is because we don't like what's here, we want something else.
But then for me, the foreign thoughts or emotion is a confusion. You know, okay, I want.
That's okay.
I'm so confused.
That's right. You're confused, and that's enough. You're seeing that you're confused. That's okay.
But
to be confused,
don't have to label it. No, here's my confusion.
No,
as an observer.
No, you're already seeing it. That's just extra. It's like putting a few extra tools on top. It's not necessary. You're seeing already. It's way lighter and easier and simpler. You're making it more complicated than you need to. You are seeing. There's desire. Experience
that's
that. That's enough.
Okay.
That's enough. Mm-hmm. We don't trust. Who is it? I think it was Ajahn Sumedho, one of the senior Western monks who from the Thai. The trouble with Westerners is we don't trust our practice. And so we think we then have to do something, but then here comes me doing something. Your practice has already shown you there's desire. As soon as there's desire, you already know there isn't ease. If there was ease, you wouldn't need anything. So now there's the lack of ease because there's I want something else. Just see that. That's all you need to do is see it. we keep seeing. It's the seeing that teaches us. You don't have to do anything about it. I'll say that again. You don't have to do anything about it. We have to simply see. It's the seeing that does the teaching, not the fixing yourself. That's too much me. Is it bad enough to be wanting? See how much we are not at ease. That's enough to see. You don't have to now do anything else on top of it. There's even more me-ing then. We're not trying to grow the me-ing. We're trying to release it. Just see is enough. I'm going to say it again. It's simpler than we think. But we want to see. So we want to be present and have that awareness, which is where the seeing comes from. See that. Right? So we need that present awareness. So that's where the busyness is in, okay, just here. Oh, yeah, here I am. Here I am. Here's this body. Here are the senses. Making conscious this present awareness. That's the work, if you want to call it work. That's the practice growing. When that's functioning, when that's there, it will see and you will learn and understand. You don't have to do more. Yeah. And that it sounds so simple, but it's because we haven't done it, that's why we have to practice the present awareness. And we make it conscious, just consciously be present. And the body is the main help for that. Main help. If you're present, you feel your body. You can't not feel your body. It's here. It's got all these, you know, neurons and sounds are happening, sights are happening. You're present. You see, you hear, you feel. It works. You're not present, it doesn't. It's not there. So keep embodied. Wonderful. Yes. Even when they hurt, eat whatever, they really help us, hold us.
Do you think that when you have like unpleasant emotions that arise, if you continue to just observe them and then kind of ignore them, that eventually they'll stop bothering you?
I'm interested in the end of your question. Eventually they'll stop bothering you. I'm just looking for the aversion in there. How much do you actually not want to have them? Or how much do you want to not be bothered by them? If you really mean, will they not bother you? Will you not have aversion to them? That will happen if you keep watching them. If you are watching them with the agenda of not having them, then you're causing yourself more distress because there's aversion there. And so there's you resisting the fact that you're having unpleasant sensations and pleasant emotions. We can accommodate everything, including unpleasant emotions, and so they won't bother us when we have the capacity to allow them and to say yes, to shy them, you know, just like, yes, here they are, this is what's happening, hold it and stay softly there with that. That's not being bothered, that's being friendly. But if you don't allow them and you resist them, then you're actually under really what you're saying, depending on your question. Will they stop happening? Will I stop having unpleasant experiences? No. You won't ever stop having unpleasant experiences. What will happen is that you won't need to add what the Buddha called the second dart. The first dart is that you have an unpleasant emotion. We will have them. You know, life is going to be this way. The second dart is like, I don't want it to be this way. And now there's resistance on top of the unpleasant. Unpleasant's unpleasant. You know, microphones squeal. It's unpleasant, period. We can resist that and make a problem out of it and be bothered by it, or we can simply have microphones squeal and it's unpleasant and leave it at that. So your question is an interesting question. What do you really mean? You don't have to tell me, but check that out for yourself. We'll do some questions and answers after lunch, because there's lots of questions about this, and it's great to have questions, but I'd like to have you to keep practicing being as present as you can be with this a little more uninterruptedness by talking for the morning. And so continue, if you don't mind, walking, and now continue being aware while walking for half an hour.
It's 10
now. We'll do half an hour, so